This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the UC San Diego Center for Healthy Aging's monthly public lecture titled The Future of Age-Friendly Communities Starts at Home, sponsored by the San Diego Foundation. For those of you I haven't had the chance to meet yet tonight, my name is Danielle Glorioso, and I'm the Executive Director of the Center for Healthy Aging and the Stein Institute for Research on Aging. I am just so delighted to see such a wonderful turnout tonight. For those of you new to us, our Center for Healthy Aging focuses on advancing lifelong health and well-being through innovative research, training, and community outreach. Our center expands upon the work of the Stein Institute and serves as an umbrella for all aging-related programs here at UC San Diego. For the first time in the history of any major university in the U.S., schools of medicine, engineering, management, pharmacy, and other divisions have come together to tackle healthy aging through a cross-campus, multi-professional collaborations. This truly is an exciting time with a great deal of momentum in the field of aging. The work that we do is supported entirely through donations, so I want to take a moment to thank all of you who have supported our work through the years. We would not be forging exciting new advances in aging without your support. If you have interest in supporting our work or learning more about the work we're doing, you can learn more about us at aging.ucsd.edu. As I mentioned earlier, the San Diego Foundation has generously supported this lovely event tonight. We are so pleased for their generosity and support of the work that we're doing. So please join me in taking a moment to thank the San Diego Foundation for their generous support and for being the visionary behind this very exciting lecture tonight. So now I'd like to have Dr. Emily Young from the San Diego Foundation come up and say a few brief words. Dr. Young leads the Foundation's Community Impact Department, working with donors, nonprofits, volunteers, and other community partners to direct charitable giving to the region's critical needs through initiatives to help all San Diegans work, enjoy, live, and learn in a vibrant region. In addition to her leadership at the Foundation, she's volunteered and served on boards for a variety of community organizations and advisory committees. Dr. Young was also awarded the 2011 Nicholas Baum Award, which recognizes smart growth leaders who inspire through values and actions. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Emily Young.
Well, thank you, Danielle, and thank you to our partner and host, UC San Diego Stein Institute for Research on Aging. We're really delighted to have so many of you here with us tonight. And in our efforts to really understand the challenges of an aging population boom and potential solutions that are defined with age-friendly communities, the San Diego Foundation Center for Civic Engagement partnered with the Stein Institute to really better understand this issue with a very engaging and exciting speaker, Dr. Larry Weinstein. And through their groundbreaking research and education, the Stein Institute is leading a movement, not just here in San Diego County, but across the country, that encourages us to see successful and healthy aging in a new way. Well, first, I'd like to recognize Don Ambrose. I know you're somewhere out there, who's been a real champion and advocate for this issue. Thank you so much, and his wife, Diane. Thank you so much for all that you've done to really bring attention to this issue and make sure that we're all really focused not just on the direct services to the aging here in San Diego and to older adults, but really thinking more holistically about how we design our neighborhoods, our communities, our homes, with more older adults in mind. And I'd also like to thank the other donors and board members and community leaders that have attended not just this, but many of our other Future 40 events. Thank you for being ambassadors for the future and engaging deeply in conversation about how we can create a better region in a rapidly changing world. And for those of you who are friends of Stein or you're joining us for the first time, we welcome and thank you for taking the time to be with us tonight. Secondly, I'd like to say that this is the sixth event in the series, the Future 40 series of the San Diego Foundation Center for Civic Engagement. And it serves as an introduction to our Age-Friendly Communities program, which is headed up by our very own Alejandra Sotelo Solis, right here in the front row. Can you just raise your hand? I, for one, am just so proud and delighted to have Alejandra on our team, and I'm really excited about the work that she's going to do in the months and years ahead to really help to promote age-friendly communities in collaboration with all of you and many others in the San Diego region. This is the San Diego Foundation's 40th anniversary year, and this Future 40 series is our way of celebrating 40 years forward to embrace the future and offer new ways of thinking and understanding the issues that we face as a future. And according to the U.S. Administration on Aging, some of you already heard some of these statistics earlier, but between 2003 and 2013, in the United States, our population of people over 60 increased by over 30%, from 48 million to a whopping 63 million. And in San Diego County, we obviously are following this trend line very closely, and the projections are that the people age 65 and older in the next 15 years is expected to double. This Future of Age-Friendly Communities event is a really valuable opportunity to engage leading thinkers like Dr. Larry Weinstein, and a chance to bring our diverse community together for dialogue and engagement and collaborative action. And we need to think differently, and that's why all of you are here, and I hope you enjoy as much as I do the wonderful remarks and insights that Dr. Weinstein can provide us. And also, we'll be hearing from Dr. Jeste from the Stein Institute about how we can transform our region into a truly age-friendly community. Now, all of you that are tweet-friendly, if you'd like to share any insights from tonight's event with your networks, please do so by tweeting out with the hashtag Future40SD, all one word. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Emily. Before we get started, I'd like to introduce the director of the Center for Healthy Aging, Dr. Dilip Jeste. Dr. Jeste is Senior Associate Dean for Healthy Aging, Director of the Stein Institute for Research on Aging, and Distinguished Professor of Psychiatry and Neurosciences here at UC San Diego. His main areas of interest include successful psychosocial aging. He's past president of several organizations, including the American Psychiatric Association, and he's published over 12 books and 600 articles in peer-reviewed journals and over 100 book chapters, and he's received multiple awards and has been in the list of world's most cited authors. Please join me in welcoming our director, Dr. Dilip Jeste.
Good afternoon, and welcome. Thank you, Danielle, for a kind introduction. I'm really glad you all are here. I am proud of the work that UC San Diego's Stein Institute and the Center for Healthy Aging do. As Danielle mentioned, this is the only center anywhere that brings together schools of medicine, engineering, pharmacy, and management, along with divisions of social sciences, biological sciences, arts and humanities. And we also take pride in partnering with foundations, communities, and the industry. And we are particularly delighted to have this new collaboration and partnership with San Diego Foundation. The San Diego Foundation is clearly one of the best-known foundations anywhere, and the work they do and what they have done over the last 40 years is really a role model for what a foundation should do. And so we look forward to collaborating with them over the next 40 years. And last but not least is my pleasurable duty to introduce our speaker. Lawrence Weinstein is a disabled veteran. He educated at the Pratt Institute, and he majored in architectural and product design. He was a founding president of a successful product and architectural design firm for nearly 40 years. His numerous projects consisted of innovative product design of many different kinds of new and renovated commercial, healthcare, and retail projects, plus many single and multifamily residential projects. Mr. Weinstein, a great number of his projects focused on designing and building living and working environments to accommodate the challenges faced by people with disabilities. He also taught many architectural commercial interior design courses through UC Berkeley. In 2000, Mr. Weinstein developed a new nonprofit organization called Shared Solutions America. This amazing nonprofit is dedicated to helping design professionals, remodelers, and people with disabilities. The goal of this nonprofit is to help people achieve maximum independence and safety in their homes. From 2002 through 2013, Mr. Weinstein served as the AARP consultant for applying aging-in-place design. He's still involved with AARP. Today's subject, livable communities starting when livable homes, is really an important subject, especially for San Diego, where the population is aging rapidly. And we really need to make major changes to accommodate the growing needs of our senior citizens as well as people with disabilities. So please give me a hand in welcoming Mr. Lawrence Weinstein.
I want to welcome you all. For me, it's the culmination of a dream that started in the year 2000 and then went on through AARP national events to awaken people to the coming tsunami of the age wave that was about to hit us, that's hitting us now. About a year ago, I unexpectedly lost most of my vision in my left eye due to optic nerve damage, and then soon thereafter, my right eye optic nerve also became inflamed. And although the vision in my right eye is 20/30, my ability to see clearly is negatively affected by constant glare and limited peripheral vision. I'm still in the process of doing my best to adapt to this relatively new condition. I am sharing this because it might cause a few hiccups in this lecture. So I ask you to please bear with me. My eyesight is impaired, but my brain is still working great. I just read in a recent issue of an objective consumer product magazine, product testing and evaluation machine magazine, an article on aging-in-place bathrooms. And they have a program offered for people to obtain a certification. And the program itself consists of 3 days. And the first day you learn how to start a business. The second day they teach you everything you need to know about aging, everything you need to know about disabilities. And the third day they recap by again teaching you how to run your business. They said that these are the go-to people. This concerns me because the go-to people, I'm one of them. And that has to do with our health, our well-being. And I do want to say this is a great start. It's a whole lot better than nothing. But we have a long way to go. What I find very unfortunate, I can't even see my own notes. What I find very unfortunate is we live in a society where our aging population is of an enormous magnitude. And when I first became involved in aging in place and universal design, it was in a very infant stage. And what I've noted over the last well, this is since 2002 till 2016, we have not evolved anywhere near as we should, as we need to, because our population has not been waiting, our aging population has not been waiting for professionals to catch up. And that concerns me deeply. I was asked to at first present a one-hour presentation on livable homes. And I said to myself, that's going to be a tough one. And just when I thought I had it, somebody told me, and you also have to do at the same time a concurrent presentation on livable communities. And my feelings were, wow. For myself, I've been through a lot of challenges in my life, and I have somebody that takes care of me and gets me through the rough times. And I knew that everything would be okay. And so I am standing here. Yes, I am nervous. And I'm nervous not because I'm standing in front of you, but because my whole life, my whole mission in life, is to helping people. I just celebrated my 80th birthday, and 50 years in the design-build world. And I know that I can't take this legacy with me. And I find this opportunity is beyond my wildest dreams and expectations to be able to get the word out much further than that, those distances I've been able to go. I dedicate this presentation to 80 million boomers and 60 million Americans of all ages with some form of permanent disability. There is also at least an equal amount or more that incur an unexpected injury or illness and suffer a short-term disability, which often turns into a long-term disability. In this brief invitation, I'm going to be talking about livable communities and livable homes. I asked myself, what constitutes a successful livable community? And then I asked myself, what constitutes a successful livable home? And I muddled over both of these things in my mind for a number of days. And which of the two is more important? Which am I going to give the major portion of my presentation to? And what I came up with is a question I asked myself. What good is a successful livable community if my living environment or home does not provide me with an enjoyable, user-friendly, barrier-free, safe, affordable, and energy-efficient place to live? And what good is a successful livable home if when I leave my home to go out into my community, it's not age-friendly, user-friendly, people-friendly, and it does not possess the qualities that make our lives outside our homes enjoyable and safe? So what I came up with, I believe that they're equally important. You can't have one without the other. This is where I grew up. It was called the unlivable community when I was a kid. In 1963, my wife and I moved from New York to Los Angeles, where I became the interiors space planning consultant for a large, new, and exciting project that they named Century City, a city within a city. And I was thrilled about this because in 1960, I did a study for the downtown of Los Angeles, and it got lost somewhere. And what I was told with Century City, that it would be a city within a city. And it would have high-rise offices and theaters and retail stores and shops and dining and hotels, mixed use, living choices, landscape, walking, casual, outdoor seating areas, and so much more. And I'm bringing this up because this is really what is the meat and potatoes, what makes a livable community. Well, it started with a big hole in the ground. It was an enormous piece of property just on the outskirts of Beverly Hills. And over a period of 2 years, I watched it grow and develop. This is the way it is today. Century City turned out to be a ghost town. What it started out as is a livable community for all people, a very diverse population. What it turned out to be is a very affluent, self-sustaining community. And the population now is over 80% Caucasian. And the average income level starts, I think, at about $80,000 to $100,000 and then goes up from there. So I'm going to give you an introduction into what constitutes a livable community. Webster defines it as a community. A community is a place where its residents primarily conduct their daily lives. AARP came up with a phrase which I think is great. A livable community is one that has affordable and appropriate housing, supportive community features and services, and adequate mobility options which facilitate personal independence and the engaging of citizens in civic and social life. America's cities, towns, and neighborhoods are definitely not ready to serve the growing needs of our nation's surging older population. We need to create livable communities to meet the needs of a graying America. Elements of a successful livable community consist of communities that are built for people, not vehicles. Communities where we live and work and play that are improved to a point where we're healthy and comfortable. We want to design on a people-friendly scale, not with these 50, 100, 200-story high-rise buildings. We need to protect our environmental resources. We have to encourage mixed-use development. We have to create vibrant public spaces. We need varying transportation options, from walking to bicycling to buses to cars to the rail system, and especially to accommodate the needs of our disabled population. We want to promote walking, and along with that, we want safety and we want security. We want to offer shopping and dining options, a very diverse amount of them. And we want to provide housing options, including affordable housing, which is a key issue here in San Diego. Health service options that go far beyond that of our major hospitals. Recreation, culture, and diversity choices. Caring and mutual support options. And my very favorite is right in the middle, Meals on Wheels. Downtown transformations. I want to show you what can be done with blighted downtown areas. Up above you have Denver, Colorado, how it looked before change occurred. And the lower slide shows what happens with treescaping, landscaping, changing the whole feel of the community, or at least the downtown area. The same thing in Honolulu, Hawaii. The top slide shows what it was like as the before, and the bottom one well under its on its way to become a livable community. And what you see here is not just these particular streets. It spreads out to the entire communities. Oakland, California, and I figure if they can do it there, anyone can do it. And we got the before, we got the after. People have said, what constitutes downtown transformations? It's streetscapes, trees, foliage, etc., comfortable outdoor seating, places to socialize and congregate, which is very important. Inviting aesthetically pleasing retail, quaint, diverse dining places, not the big, huge places, and definitely not the quick in-and-out places. Creative, people-friendly sidewalks, uncluttered parking, and especially safe pedestrian crosswalks. I really believe that revitalization starts one house at a time. And I use this slide as an example. The upper left slide shows the house before and lower right with landscaping, remodeling of the home. From that one house, the entire neighborhood changed. And the neighborhood looked worse than that one house when it started. What is visitability? This was coined by a paraplegic woman in Georgia originally. And she felt that it was really important that people should have the freedom, people in wheelchairs, people with walkers, people with canes, should have the freedom to get in and out of their own homes, out of friends' homes, out of neighbors' homes, and have that visitability. So it's a national campaign to get cities to implement meaningful policy requiring a few accessible essentials to incorporate into the design and construction of every new home. The upper left, you see a beautiful home, but it's not visitable. I have spine problems. I could not walk those stairs. Homes can be very easily modified and designed and changed to provide a zero-step entry. The visitable home, a good beginning, starts with one zero-step entrance to the home. All main floor interior doors, including bathrooms, have at least a minimum of 32-inch clear open passage. And I changed the third. The third said a half bath or a full bath on the main floor. And I'd like to see anyone with a walker or a wheelchair get into a half bath. I was in just outside of Boston a number of years ago, and I walked by this church. You see the picture on the left. And the elders were outside of that church talking about the challenges they were having with the congregation getting in and out of the church. And just then a huge convoy of trucks filled with dirt went by. And I called the trucks over and I asked them to dump the dirt in front of the church. And they did. And the elders all went bonkers. And they said, "Now what do we do?" I said, "I'm glad you asked. Monday, I need volunteers. You have a large congregation of people who are in the contracting business. Let's turn the dirt into a slope. Let's get rid of the stairs. And let's landscape it and grade it." Now, that's what you see on the right. Very simple solution. Very inexpensive solution. We do homes the same way. One of the most powerful words or phrases is "my home." What does my home mean to you? They're parts of our identities. They're zones of comfort, security, and independence. They carry memories. They hold our possessions and give us a sense of place and belonging, our keys to personal independence and engagement in community life, and settings for socializing with family, friends, and neighbors. There are many reasons to make aging in place in our own homes the best choice over other living or housing options. Aging in place, supported by home and community-based services, offers us the most benefits and costs the least. My father-in-law lives in an independent living center, and it costs over $6,000 a month just for a one-room apartment and a cleaning service and meals. And most people cannot afford that. Most people can afford, with some minor changes, to age successfully in their own homes with supportive in-home support, with in-home supportive services to help make it be. This is a familiar thing to me. It means a great deal to me because my grandmother died in a nursing home, and she was put in ahead of her time because her family was too busy doing other things. And I watched a very vibrant woman within 7 months go to be with the Lord. There are presently over 60 million Americans of all ages who have some form of permanent disability, and millions more who incur an unexpected injury or illness resulting in a temporary disability. 60% of Americans use eyeglasses or contact lenses. One out of every 11 persons nationally have hearing problems, and one in four households in America are involved. It's coming closer to 1 to 3 right now, are involved in caregiving. And that's 54 million is about 4 or 5 years ago. It's a little over 62 million now. Accidents in the home. Did you know that each year, on average, preventable injuries in the home cause over 7 million disabling injuries, over 25,500 deaths, one fatality every 18 minutes. 1 in 3 adults age 65 falls each year. 6 out of every 10 falls happen in the home, and they cause 21 million medical visits. There are over 4.5 million children, 14 and under, who are treated in ER rooms, plus many, many more that make it to the ER room. It's the fifth leading cause of death overall, and are 2.5 times more likely to cause injury than car crashes. And the scary thing is, they are largely preventable when home safety practices are put into action. Riding the big wave, 80 million boomers and over 120 million by 2030. We live in San Diego, so I had to get this slide in. Today's mature market is more than 80 million strong, with another 40 million to be added to its ranks by 2020. When I got involved with AARP National Events in 2002, there was nothing to do with housing or homes. And they asked me what I wanted to do, and I said, "I want to get involved in homes. And I want to get involved in developing a program with universal design or aging in place, which are synonymous." And they said, "Well, okay." And each year I did, and I would design a home, a show home. And we'd actually bring it into the exhibit hall and thousands of people would tour the home, which was a single-story, universal-designed featured home, except for one, which you see in the lower left slide, which is a two-story, but it has an elevator. We averaged about 8,000 to 12,000 enthusiastic attendees each year to come to one of the show homes. It became a highlight of the AARP, one of the highlights of the AARP national event. We were at an event, I guess it was around 2006, and Lowe's and Anheuser-Busch came over to me the day before the keynote presentation. This was on a Thursday. The keynote presentation was on a Saturday. And they asked me if I would fill in for the speaker. And I didn't think before I spoke. I said yes. And I figured this won't be too bad. I've done a lot of speaking. It'll be fine. So they asked me what I wanted to talk about. And I said, well, what is she supposed to talk about? And she was supposed to talk about making your home beautiful. And I said, I'm not too good at making my home beautiful. I said, can I talk about anything I want? And they said, well, we have no choice. Do what you want. And I did. And what I talked about is aging in place and universal design. And they put some, hastily put some signs outside and all. And just before the event, I went into this room, and the room had seating for about 6,500 to 7,000 people. And I said to myself, I'm not going to repeat what I said to myself. I was nervous. And I said, okay, Larry, you got yourself into this one. Well, as time passed, my speaking engagement was at 10 a.m. And by 9:30, there were about 150 people in the room. By a quarter to 10, there were maybe 700 or 800. And I said, this one's a piece of cake. And about 5 minutes before I was to speak, all the doors opened. And this is who came in. 65 plus 100 people came in. And I asked them, I said, are you interested in universal design and aging in place? And somebody in the front row, definitely from Brooklyn, says, what do you think I'm here for? Well, statistics, 89% of older Americans surveyed told AARP they want to stay in their current home and community as they age. And this percentage, I think, has either maintained itself or gotten higher. However, many existing homes are in dire need of renovation and updating, especially kitchens and bathrooms. And you can underline bathrooms because that's where most of the accidents occur. There are currently over or approximately 133 million existing housing units in America per the 2013 census, U.S. Census. Thanks to changes in lifestyles and advances in medical technology, people are living longer, but not necessarily healthier. It also means that many more older Americans are or will be living with disabilities. While about one quarter of older households aged 65 to 74 include someone with a disability, the proportion climbs to nearly two-thirds among households with a member age 85 plus. It has been estimated by experts that over 6 out of 10 baby boomers will be managing multiple chronic health issues by 2030. Almost half of the boomer generation live with some form of arthritis, and that number will peak in 2020 to at least 26 million. Then there are the different forms of mental illness, such as dementia and Alzheimer's disease, ranking very high among older adults. Approximately 50% of age 60-plus adults suffer from a mental disorder, and mental health challenges can impact all family members. The one that gets me is right here in San Diego. There are currently 60,000 people in San Diego, adults, that live with Alzheimer's. These conditions often present challenges while we're trying to perform simple daily living tasks and activities in our own homes. Mental health for everyone, and especially older adults, can be improved by creating new and modifying existing living environments that support well-being and safety. The need for certain home modifications to accommodate the ergonomic needs of many millions of people of all ages with one or a number of physical and/or developmental challenges is soaring. But most people have no idea that universal design, aging-in-place design, or accessible design even exists. Unfortunately, this also includes many design professionals, builders, remodelers, and healthcare professionals. We have to find viable ways to change this situation by developing and implementing quality education programs through our colleges, universities, and other qualified learning centers right here, right now, in San Diego. What do we really need most in life? What we all need most in life is to live independent, enjoyable, fulfilled lives in our homes and in our communities. Personal happiness and independence is deeply affected by our level of ability to perform daily living tasks and activities where we work, where we play, and in our own living environments. People are not the problem. The house is the problem, and lost independence is the result. Why is the big question? Well, most homes have been designed and built through the years to meet the physical needs of the very few and not the many. It's based on the average American. And the average American is a he. And he is in his 20s. And he is in perfect health. And he is about 6 foot tall. Wrong. We're not all in our early 20s. We're not all male. We're not all 6 foot tall. And most of us are not in perfect health. And those that are stay that way for a very, very short time. The physical changes that occur with aging and or disability relate to every aspect of movement. As we age or due to some injury or health condition, our sight, hearing, muscle strength, coordination, and reflexes change, challenging our ability to successfully perform daily living tasks and activities at home and at work. Some of the problem areas in new and existing homes are poor and inadequate lighting, slippery floors, deep carpet, stairs to go up, stairs to go down, narrow hallways and doorways, hard to clean surfaces and finishes, hard to reach places and spaces, costly power robbing appliances, high and unreachable shelves, poor indoor ventilation and indoor air quality. We can try to ignore these changes, or we can find ways to compensate by rethinking the way we design and build new and remodel existing living environments. No two people are alike. You know, I told you about this three-day program, and it's built on a model that's supposed to fit a major portion of our population, but the problem is we're not all alike. We vary in age, size, abilities, talents, and preferences. It's a really good template, a really good start, but we have to go a lot further than that to meet the needs of our aging population and people who are facing disabilities. The Universal Design features Smart Livable Home in introduction. They said it was copyrighted, so please take a look at my home up there. It calls for design adapting to people rather than people adapting to poor design. Home modifications applying smart livable homes design features will make homes more accessible and safe for people of all ages. Now, there's universal design or aging in place design, which is synonymous. Then there's accessible design. Then there's smart livable homes design. The term universal design features was coined in about 1998 by a small group of visionaries scattered across the country. Universal design is the process of designing products, living, working, and playing environments that are usable to the greatest extent possible by everyone, regardless of their age, size, level of ability, at all stages of life. There's a whole lot more that goes into making living and working environments far more user-friendly and safe than just applying the principles of universal design or aging-in-place design. I call it level one. Universal design or aging in place design are features which are incorporated into new and existing living environments which help many people of all ages improve their quality of daily living, maximizing their ability to better perform everyday living tasks and activities while maintaining a high degree of independence and safety. Simple changes in our living environments can make them more user-friendly and safe. These changes will provide a more comfortable, functional, efficient, and safe living environment for all family members and increase their ability to remain independent throughout the years. An example of that is a zero-step entry. It's all-inclusive. Somebody with a disability, a mother carrying packages or a person carrying packages in their hand, a mother rolling a stroller in, and kids just going in and out of the stairs. I had a home up in San Mateo County with three steps, And when my youngest son was about 5 years old, he would take the three steps in one shot going down. And one day he missed and he broke his tibia and fibia. So this slide is very important to me, personal. Universal design is a topic unto itself, and it's a subject of a whole separate presentation. Each one of these slides, and I don't have time to go through them, cover different universal design features in a home. Safety bars, I don't call them grab bars. The bar does not have to be age restrictive. It's for anyone and everyone. All you need to know is it works, and it must support 250 pounds of weight. I had an idea once. I was in a laundromat, and I saw this young man in a wheelchair bending forward to take the clothes out of the clothes dryer. And this was 2002, and I was just finishing up designing the show home for the AARP national event. So I got the idea to get GE, I think it was, just came out with the very first front-load washer and dryer in America. So they were one of our sponsors, and I asked them for a front-load washer and dryer, and I elevated it on a platform so that people could use it. Well, my next-door exhibitor was Whirlpool Corporation, and about 9-10 months later, if you look at the right slide, they came up with an optional drawer unit that fits underneath, and I think it's wonderful. It doesn't matter how the message is spread as long as it's spread. Level 2 is accessible design. It includes universal or aging-in-place design, but goes an important step further. It also includes actual accessible products, technologies, and features that help people of most all ages with specific disabilities better compensate while dealing with their daily living challenges. It helps people who have difficulty walking, bending, getting up, sitting down, climbing stairs, lifting, reaching, grasping, seeing, hearing, and cognition. For professionals working in accessible design, it's essential to get a good understanding of the nature of disabilities. So we have the nature of the living environment, now we're taking in the nature of disabilities and combining the two together. And get to understand how they each affect one's ability to move around and physically function well, not only now, but projecting into the future, cerebral palsy, muscular dystrophy, and things like that. And to become familiar with manual and power mobility devices, lift and transfer equipment, and adaptive equipment and technologies. Next one is the third level, smart livable homes design. It includes level 1 and 2, but it goes a great deal further because it applies what we call evidence-based design, which brings forth a whole new dimension to living environment design, new construction, and renovation. It successfully applies time-tested, proven building technologies using innovative materials, methods, and products that work. Evidence-based design is a relatively new field of study that started in the designing of hospitals. In the study of building new hospitals, they found that on a typical hospital floor, that the rooms on that floor were designed differently. So some of the rooms, when you first walked in, the restroom was to the left. Others, it was to the right. Others, it was all the way in. And nurses who were dealing with life and death situations had to orient themselves to the room first before they could help the patient. And that was the actual birthing of evidence-based design. And now it's a commonplace technologically that's working very successfully in the designing of hospitals and healthcare facilities. The intent of this advanced level is to simplify life for everyone. It's a revolutionary and practical leap forward in the evolution of living and working environment design technology, and it really works. The process is particularly suited to designing hospitals. I've said that. It covers home energy efficiency and practical, successful ways to reduce monthly utility costs. It covers lighting and indoor air quality science, and so much more. Combining my education and background in architectural design and product design with evidence-based design greatly helps me to help educate professionals as well as aging and disabled people of all ages. By understanding how our bodies change over time, we can do a far better job of building new and adapting existing living environments to better accommodate the needs of a broader range of physical abilities or limitations. The importance of lighting. This is my toy. I love lighting. I love what it can do because good lighting can be a key to home safety and independence. No one looks forward to the day when performing simple, everyday tasks such as reading a magazine or cooking and cleaning becomes difficult or impossible to do because of vision problems. Good lighting helps us greatly. It's amazing the impact lighting has in our home, in our lives. It's the single most important element in the room, and yet it's frequently overlooked and misunderstood. You go to any development that's being built, they get everything in there, except they'll have one outlet on the ceiling, and then as an after, the fact thought, whatever we have left will stick up on the ceiling. And it's still this way. It's been this way for as long as I can remember. Lighting touches each of us every day, and it can be used to make a positive difference in our lives. For many, losing the ability to see well means losing independence. Light is essential to sight, and sight is essential to independence. A year ago, I lost my vision in my left eye. A few months later, my right eye, the vision dropped substantially, but what happened is I'm highly susceptible to glare. And guess what's poking me in the eyes? It brought a whole new meaning to me of what sight impairment is all about. Good lighting makes daily tasks much easier for everyone and provides a safer, accident-free home. Our ability to see and therefore remain independent in later years is compromised by bad lighting, and bad lighting surrounds us all every day. Older people require about 3 to 4 times as much light as younger people. Vision deterioration for most adults, even with perfect vision, begins at age 40 or earlier. So that means anyone who's 40 or over is an older adult. As far as our eyes go, that's the truth. In conclusion, I was recently interviewed by a news reporter for the Union Tribune. And she asked me, who can people go to when they want to make aging in place changes in their homes? How can we make the right selection of a knowledgeable and experienced aging in place design build professional? My reply was that I have not come across many experienced aging in place or accessible design build professionals here in San Diego, or throughout the country for that matter. However, I would like to do my part to help change this, especially here in San Diego. I believe that God gives each of us special gifts. They come out of the experiences we go through in our lives and the knowledge and wisdom we gain from them. I also believe that people who are able to learn what their special gifts are and use them to help benefit others are very fortunate. I feel very blessed to have come to know that my special gifts are to apply the sum total of all my experiences and knowledge, especially in living environment design build, to help our aging population and people of all ages with disabilities here in San Diego learn how to make their homes more user-friendly and safe through all stages of their lives. I want to give you all a call to action. Our mission, Shared Solutions America, is to develop a comprehensive learning program to teach architects, designers, students, and others how to successfully incorporate smart livable home design features in living environments, to find ways to bring together funding sources and affordable remodeling sources here in San Diego so that older people and people of all ages with disabilities, especially those with limited financial resources, will be able to obtain much-needed changes that will help them successfully and safely age in place in their own homes through the years ahead. This is our vision, to build a living learning center here in San Diego that would educate the professionals, the architects, the designers, the remodelers, then to teach the homeowners and the consumers, and then to provide a program for healthcare professionals, for hospitals, discharge planners, case managers. And the way we'd like to accomplish this is to build and make available to everyone in San Diego an actual living learning center, like I did for AARP. Everybody learns much better when they can touch, see, and feel than reading a book. And it's our vision to develop one of those here in San Diego. How can you help our mission become a reality, and what can you contribute? We're seeking help to develop and update a new innovative informational website, a location to build a living learning center, people with experience in design, building, and remodeling to volunteer to participate and help, professional designers, builders, and remodelers with a heart to help us help others, and finding funding and financial contributions. I want to thank you all very much for being here. It means a great deal to me. This, to me, is the coming together of a lifelong of learning and practicing, and I could not have asked for a better place with better people to be before, to watch it starting to happen, and especially here in San Diego. Thank you very much.
I'd like to start off with a question. We know that there's definitely work to be done and continued action to be taken. In your presentation, you'd listed a couple of agencies and cities that are doing and making a difference. Can you share another example of a community or an area that is doing it right and what they are doing right?
One of the areas that impresses me greatly and has since it started doing is the Boston waterfront. And they've done some amazing things that since we're a waterfront city, there are a lot of things we can learn from them. And my second example is New York City, and if they can do it there, it can be done anywhere.
What are three things, you mentioned lighting, you mentioned the restroom, but are three things that are affordable that you can do in your home right now?
Right here, right now. First thing I would assess would be the bathrooms. That's where most of the accidents occur, and that's where safety, that's where removing scatter rugs comes in, that's where better lighting comes in, better ventilation comes in. And anyone and everyone can do that. And although I'm as guilty as anyone else, if not more, to not be a pack rat and make your homes more open, your apartments more open, so you don't trip over your own stuff.
Great. The first question from the audience is, how might San Diego elevate age-friendly as a government priority? And the second part of that question is, what compels politicians to allocate resources and political capital to this imperative?
Pressure. And I'm very sincere about that. If we don't speak out, those of us who want to go into the category of seniors or who have parents, older parents, then government does very little. Government is motivated by the people, whether we believe it or not. We do have the power, and we do have the voice.
In addition to Meals on Wheels, what other goods or services could be delivered on wheels to the home?
Well, one of the things is yourself. We have many people in our community. Do you guys remember when we had the blackout here? The last blackout, we live in Alpine, and my wife and I went to visit some people in a housing complex for older people. And most of those people didn't even have flashlights. And most of those people didn't even have water. And when I talk to friends about this in different parts of San Diego, that's replicated all over San Diego. So reaching out and helping people is very important.
What are some specific design features you are recommending for Alzheimer's sufferers?
Well, lighting is one of the most important things, believe it or not, because people with any form of dementia, many homes, if you look up at the ceilings, there are dark spots in the ceilings, and that exacerbates dementia or Alzheimer's. So good ambient lighting, which is indirect lighting, so we don't have the dark spots in the ceilings. That would be the most important of all.
Do you see co-housing communities as a viable solution for San Diego?
Well, it's working in other parts of the country. There's no reason why it shouldn't work here as well.
What incentives might entice a contractor to expend added resources needed to build lifelong homes?
Unfortunately, business in many areas is motivated by money, wealth. I was part of that world for a long time. In the year 2000, we transitioned from for-profit to non-profit. And I realized that there has to be ways to motivate people. My youngest brother is building an age-friendly community with universal design features in the outskirts of Seattle. And the investors did not want to invest the money, and I had to prove to them that the cost of making it an age-friendly, universal design featured development, so 361 unit projects, or 361 phases to the projects. And I had to show them the price differential between doing it universal design featured between that and just doing it. And the difference was less than 8%. And I threw in addition to that, you're getting products from manufacturers that stand behind their products. You're getting products that are very low in maintenance, that are sustainable, and you're getting a lot of fringe benefits that go along with this decision.
Thank you, Larry. What will become the future of the senior living industry, i.e. independent or assisted living facilities?
Well, I really believe that being realistic about our society is that independent living centers, if that's what the question had to do with, most people cannot afford them. The only real viable answer is aging in place in our own homes. And it's been proven over and over and over again all over the country. There are not enough hospitals, there are not enough nursing homes, there are not enough facilities available to meet the enormous needs of our aging population.
What can children of these aging parents do to help?
Go on our website. We don't sell anything. Everything I presented here and that which I did not present as far as universal design is on our website, livablehomes.org, and it'll take you through a home completely, not only verbally but with slides. You'll excuse the age of the slides, we're in the age of the homes. I did not pick mansions. I picked very user-friendly homes, homes that represent a majority of our nation's population. But the features are all shown there, item by item. It'll walk you through a lot more than that three-day, $300, $400, or $500 course offered, and I'll give you each a certification.
Thank you again, Larry. And let's give Mr. Weinstein a big round of applause.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.